You guys know how much I love my spa, my Bullfrog Spa from Tropical Pool and Spa. Make sure that you're grabbing one right now and getting it ordered. People are finally figuring out they really need to get this ordered and on its way, because I'm telling you, it'll save you from the world's stress. It's amazing to have in your backyard. You have to have, if we're going to have staycations for a while, my gosh, what an option for you guys. Go to Tropical Pool and Spa. Don't waste any time. They have $1,000 off right now on their Labor Day special. You just can't beat it. You just can't beat it. And so they have special financing or the $1,000 off. Take advantage of it right now and get it ordered. It'll be the best thing you've done for yourself in a long, long time. TropicalFiberglassPool.com. TropicalFiberglassPool.com. And this is the company you want to go with. They're the ones that are easy to work with. And just, it's just such a fun, it's just, I can't even express how wonderful a Bullfrog Spa is, because I get in it every night. And it takes my stress away. I want you to do the same for you. Also, their swim spas are really amazing. And their fiberglass pools, nobody can beat them in price. And they are just really good at what they do. Get over to Tropical Fiberglass Pool. Highly, highly encourage you to do it right now.
Common sense supposed to be common? The struggle is real, my friends. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
I was born in a cellar at home. Delivered by Dr. McGraw. We had one bedroom for my sister, myself, and my parents. We had a half bath and a kitchen. 7.5 years we lived in that place. There was no welfare. There was no food stamps. There was no safety net. But I always had plenty to eat. Because every time I asked for seconds, my dad would say, no, you had plenty. But the reason I was born with a silver spoon, my dad had only gone to the third grade. That's all the education he had. But why was I born with a silver spoon in my mouth? Because I was taught by my parents that life's a matter of making choices. Wherever you are, good or bad, because of choices you make. Don't blame anybody else, but if you get an education, you're willing to work and overcome problems and difficulties, in this great country, you can amount to something. That's why I was born with a silver spoon. I was in this country and I was taught personal responsibility for choices you made.
Hi there. Welcome, Kate Daly Show. Glad to have you. And I've got Uncle Milty.
Hello.
Chris Ann Hall today.
Hey.
So fun. It's going to be great. Dr. Kevin Gutzman tomorrow talking about Supreme Court. He's written some terrific books on the founders, and he's been on the show before. He's really good. And so I'm excited about that. How are you today, Uncle Milty?
I'm okay. You know, when I had to leave Tuesday and go to the doctor,
yeah.
And I said there was an accident over on 700. There was. And a motorcyclist was killed in that accident.
Oh, no.
So that explains why it was tied up for so long over there.
Oh.
Yep.
Horrible. That's horrible.
Well, motorcycle versus SUV.
Oh.
The rider of the motorcycle was a 71-year-old man named Douglas Metcalf.
Oh. Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Ouch. Ah, sad to hear that. So much to talk about, as you can probably imagine. Some information on the Supreme Court could be picks today. A little bit about where we're going with Governor Newsom in California, why he is really excited about putting out an executive order about gas-powered cars no longer welcome in California 14 years from now. So that'll we'll cover that too. With Chris Ann, we'll talk about the Born Alive executive order and National Guard, all kinds of stuff coming up today. And of course, you know, after watching the footage of the woman being tased at the game, you know, at the game she was watching, football game in Ohio, it was so disturbing I could barely watch it because it was so bizarre. I mean, you just can't imagine that they are coming in with taser guns ablazing to people that aren't wearing a mask. You know, what was interesting for all those people that say, well, private property, they said she had to wear one. Number one, this is a sledgehammer to a fly, and Number two, what's interesting was by their own rules, she was social distancing because she was 6 feet apart from anyone else in the stands. So she would absolutely win if going to court on this. But they were, the guy pulls his mask down to tase her and arrest her. And get her on the ground.
The issue is the only thing she can be arrested for on private property like that would be trespassing.
Right.
She wasn't trespassing. No. She bought a ticket.
I know. It's so amazing to me. And right in front of her kids, and all she was doing was just not wearing the mask and just sitting there.
That's not a crime.
With her family. Yeah. And the heavy, tyrannical approach. You know, people sat there in the stands with their arms folded, masked up to the hilt, and watched this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even wrap my brain around sitting there watching this and feeling well, she deserves it.
Yeah, no.
It's amazing.
Well, and it specifically because it's not a crime.
Right.
And, you know, as long as she's not threatening to kill my grandmother, who cares?
Yeah, this is and
this is crazy.
It is, and it's not a law on the books. This is a mandate coming from government. This is not a law, and so even when private property refers to it as a law, it doesn't make it a law.
Nope.
And so it's very the way that was handled. Oh my gosh, I'm still stunned. I still can hardly watch it. I just grimace when
I'm
watching it.
I'm curious to see how they try to get out of it, because if they say it was trespassing, that's not true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She purchased the ticket.
Right. And had her mask in her pocket.
Yep.
I can't imagine being an officer that would react like this. I wonder what's going to happen in the northern part of our state as King Herbert just announced that they were all going to be mandated for masks in Orem and Provo. How far the cops are willing to take that?
Well, I hate to quote myself.
But you're going to.
But I think I've said many times there is always somebody willing to put on the brown shirt.
Right.
That's unfortunate.
No, it's very true. It's very true. And so I'm hoping, I mean, I would at least hope down here, if they ever tried to do that here, that the cops here would not ever enforce anything like that. I can't imagine. And that is one way. This is why I was so disappointed in the school board, because they did not have to follow along and then go 10 miles ahead of what was even asked of them when it came to the schools. I mean, they got very punitive very quickly, and then on top of it even had that little panel of people that had to, that reviewed all the medical letters to be that stringent about it. Nobody asked them to go that far. So when people say that they're forced to do something, and I see even businesses go 10 miles beyond what they're even what they even think they're supposed to do, then it makes me even more angry, as more like a stab in the back, because you know that they don't have to do that, but they're doing it anyway. And so what's provoking that? Why go so far overboard? Nothing is in the books that would have told the officer to tase that person, to wrestle that mother to the ground in front of her children as she's screaming. Nothing told the officer to do that. So how does this happen?
He could be a true believer.
True believer in tyrannical overreach, yeah.
In COVID.
Mm. Yeah, even though he wasn't wearing his mask all the way up.
Well, that, you know, he's a cop. He doesn't have to follow the law. He's there to protect.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I just wonder, you know, you cops out there, you school board members, you principals, you teachers, the people on the front lines, what gets into the heads of those that are willing to react this way, to go that far, to be this punitive, to take someone else's liberty, even a child, and to treat them that way? I still am trying to grasp for the answer for that one. When you can't even say that somebody's telling you to do it, you're not even just following orders. You're taking it upon yourself to go 10 miles farther. Kind of like the little girl, when the guy called and said his little girl, was put in the back of the classroom and forced to eat alone at lunch, even though she had tested negative for COVID. Mm-hmm. They went the extra, you know, extra 10 yards on steroids to be punitive toward her. And I thought, what gets into these people's heads to do that? So the whole I'm just following orders, it's not an order. So why are you making up your own orders, in essence? I just don't understand. Because I think there's a lot of people out there that would probably turn a blind eye to, oh, well, they are following order. They have to. They just have to. You don't understand. They have to.
Yeah.
We're not even talking about that. We're talking about the people that just go so far beyond what even that is. I just, wow. I have a hard time with that in my head. Actually, I was going to talk about Chris Herod. Chris Herod put up a good post, and it was all about the recent, you know, events in Provo and what happens when government clamps down on freedom. I like Chris Herod. And he said, this really shouldn't be a surprise for the city that hosts the Freedom Festival. Free people vote with their feet. You have a socialist as chair of the Provo City Council. He thinks he knows best for the individual citizens. So rallies the Provo City Council for mandatory masks. Citizens resist and shop in Orem when possible. And this isn't fair, cries the socialist who demands a countywide mask mandate. So the governor mandates masks for Orem, and Commissioners Ainge, who's horrifying, and Ivy, horrifying, break their campaign promises and implement a Utah County mask mandate. And the same pattern happened in Europe and demonstrates why socialism is so dangerous, because it never stops at its borders, since socialism can never compete with freedom. The Soviet Union takes over Eastern Europe, and when faced with socialism and freedom, people choose freedom and escape. This isn't fair, cried the Eastern European socialists, and erected barriers, eventually known as the Iron Curtain. People find the loophole. And West Berlin, eventually that escape route is closed as well. And so they keep raising taxes to fund their individual citizens, especially the producers, changing their citizenship. And he goes on, but he says, look, Provo High School wants the parents of their football team, who have sacrificed so much for their children, to be able to witness their final home game. And after doing all these fees and carpools and practices, recognizing that to date, Governor Herbert's health department cannot confirm a single death of COVID under the age of 25. They seek a loophole and arrange to play at a non-Provo Orem event. And despite the fact that only parents and other family members and other students, who all interact with the team on a regular basis, attend high school football games, this isn't fair, cries the benevolent dictator and shuts down the loophole. It's lunacy. Provo and Orem host the two largest universities in the state. And like every other county in the world who opens up, there's going to be a spike, yet we panic because they're just testing more. Testing for virus doesn't mean anyone's sick. Losing millions of dollars on economic impact. And the most frightening part, Chris Herod said, is to me, is that we take it. We take it.
Well, you're leaving out a little something.
Really?
Yeah. The state constitution, Article 178, Section 432, says fairness above all.
Fairness above all. Yeah. And always go with the delusional, fearful one who is crying the loudest and writing the letters. Right, Dr. Angela Dumb? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why she put masks on kids in schools. Yeah. Yeah. Let's go with the delusional. That always predicts how we're going to act. Be right back, and I'll take your calls. So call back right after the break. Kate Daly Show.
Balance.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
And nobody, 'cause you're on the phone. Or don't you feel like a cry? Don't you feel like crying?
Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. 888-673-1450. 888-673-1450. We'd love to hear from you. Make the call. I'll do it again. 888-673-1450. 1450. So there's the number. Give us a call. Uncle Milty and I are in. Chris Ann Hall coming up. Kevin Gutzman tomorrow, author of many, many books on the founders. And he'll talk about Supreme Court. He's also a professor. He's a really, really good guy. And so much to talk about today, of course, on the show. We'll start taking calls. 888-673-1450. All right. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate. Hi, Uncle Milty. How are you guys doing?
Good. Great. How are you? Go right ahead.
The hits just keep on coming.
Yes, they do. Jeez.
It's said that power corrupts and that absolute power corrupts absolutely, but there's another part to that axiom as well, and that is that a little bit of power corrupts as much as absolute power when people are powerless to begin with.
Yeah.
Yep, it does.
So true.
And that's what we're really dealing with here is we're dealing with people who aren't in touch with their own frustration, so they take it out on the nearest available person who is less powerful than them. Mm-hmm. And what we need to see from people is, like with George Floyd, we need people to stand up and say, stop.
Yep. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, we do. Thank you. Really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
That's an extremely important point, because when we're out and about, when people get obnoxious with you over whatever the issue may be, how you park, how you walk, you know, if you don't say something in defense of yourself, they feel more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute you give them any pushback, they crawl into their shell like a snail.
So true.
It is true. They're really cowards is what they are.
Yeah, just go up the food chain of management at a store. If you're not getting the answer you want, they'll finally cave. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate. Hey,
hi there.
How are you both doing?
Good. How are you? Go right ahead.
Good, thanks. I've been out of town for 5 weeks. Haven't been able to listen to you. Just pulling into my car. I've been in Oregon.
How's that?
Too bad for you.
Constitutional Oregon. And I was approached on a path walking along a river by an older gentleman. I'm in my late 50s. He was probably 10 years my senior.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at me in just absolute disgust and disbelief. And that's why I wasn't wearing a mask. And I tried to be very pleasant. I smiled and I said, sir, how do you know that I haven't already decided to throat punch the next intellectual infant who says something? Because you don't. And let me give you some free advice. Sticking your nose into other people's business could be harmful to your health. And Milton said something just before I got out of my car. And I really hope that King Herbert attempts to make a mandate down here in St. George, because at this point, I'm in disbelief at how silly, simpleton, infantile my average fellow citizen is. Just, you said so, you know.
Amen.
I'm gonna wear cheesecloth on my face in a sandstorm, and even though I really know deep it down inside it's not gonna do a thing, I'm gonna do it because it allows me to virtue signal with my neighbors and show that I'm being compliant and
a good citizen.
And I'm wondering at what point. You talked about the woman being tased. If you have seen the actor Jim Caviezel, his interview recently in the last week.
Yes.
I wonder how many people, my neighbors, your neighbors, our family, our friends, people we love, we respect, who will trip over themselves to desperately say, well, no, that's not Christ-like, or, I'm trying to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how much is going to happen before. And I guys like myself have made the decision long ago, and I've had this discussion with a couple of good friends of mine who are active duty police officers, and I just talked to a retired police officer on my way up to St. George just the other day on the shuttle, who, we talked about it, and it's so amazing to me that police, and I'm painting with a broad brush here, I'm not trying to accuse anybody of anything specific, but when the subject comes up of people not upholding the oath of office they took, whether that was as a mayor, the governor, as a police chief, as a police officer, and in the face of wanton violence, will allow stuff to happen because they were either given a stand down order. I don't get why the average American, you know, and I've told friends of mine, like you see these videos of an angry young lady, for instance, who's in her early 20s, perhaps a college student, very likely confused about her gender, getting nose to nose, screaming with rage.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm old fashioned. I was taught you never hit a girl. And in my view, that's not a girl, and she's going down and going down really hard.
Right.
And then when her friends attack me, out comes the gun. I smoke two or three, and dozens scatter like rocks within a sinking ship. And I tell my top friends, I say, what scares me to death is I've already made the decision a long time ago as a law-abiding patriot who's served my country and deployed to the Middle East 3 times. If you are too cowardice as a police officer to do your job, and I do it,
right,
and you now think to pull out a taser or pull out a gun, I will shoot you a half a second later without giving a second thought. Long before I go, oh, wait, what does the law say? Oh, you have authority. Here, let me put my hands behind my back. Nope, it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when more Americans stand their ground and go, screw you, I'm not wearing a mask. I just went into a court building today. Sorry, the mayor, the police chief, the governor, and the president of the United States. No, none of you possess the constitutional authority to make me wear a mask in a government building.
Right.
So any other questions? Have a nice day.
Thanks. Really appreciate the call. Thank you for that.
Well, this is what people mean when they say the founders risked everything.
Yeah.
You know, you have to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're willing to sit back and say, oh, well, you know, I just don't want to... You know, I don't want to stir anything up. It's not that it's just wearing a mask. It gives them more permission to do more. And we're seeing it every day. These things are increasing every day.
So true. It is so true. We're seeing all kinds of stuff right now. You know, my stance on 5G, I've been talking about that a lot because we're seeing a lot more towers come in. They have to put the towers in many different places in order for 5G to be laid down across the nation. So the only reason they're bringing in new towers is for 5G right now. There's really no other reason. And they're doing it on school property, which makes me sad because they're not even worried about the kids being... If you have to send out a letter to everybody within 500 feet to tell them the danger of this going up, but you're willing to put kids within that 500 feet, it just, that kind of nonsense. And you know, you're going to see a lot of city council members try to diminish what I'm saying. You're going to see a lot of people in the industry of 5G diminish me and what I'm saying. And, oh, it's fine and it's safe and whatever. No, it's not. It's actually way more powerful. And it's this kind of diminishing that hurts all of our freedom. Because when they do this and they do it in a calculated way, very manipulatively, they don't want you to fight this kind of thing. I'm looking at always like bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
The 5G network enables them to take us into full digital currency away from the dollar completely, because they have to have enough bandwidth and enough data storage and everything else to be able to handle everyone's transactions that are not cash. And so the big picture of 5G is scary because of what the platform we're laying down, the tracks we're laying down for it. I mean, if we can't even see that component of it, I'm not even talking about the health. I'm just talking about big picture. We have a problem if we're not seeing this.
Oh, yeah. And it's more than just financial. I mean, if you're not one of these people who believes they'll actually go to digital currency, just facial recognition. They'll be able to follow you the minute you leave your front door until you go in another door.
Yes. And that component is quite frightening, too, because what it is the reason they call it the Internet of Things. You ever wondered about that? Mm. Why do they call it that? It's because you're taking the physical and you're marrying that with the wireless, the data, the way to be able to communicate from thing to thing. That's what it's about, right? From your refrigerator connecting to, you know, your wireless. So everything is connected, even in physical form, to each other and talk to each other. And that requires a ton of data. So there, when I talk about health, yeah, there's huge health concerns because we've already been laying this down for about a year and a half, and we're already seeing some of those problems already arise. You know, kids with leukemia, all kinds of different things. But yes, the big picture is scary too. So don't let them diminish that message. Look into it yourself. Look into it yourself. I think you're going to be a little appalled. And all you have to do is Google, and not Google, use something else, DuckDuckGo, whatever. But that's even been bought, so who knows anymore. But look at cities opposing 5G and why they are. Mm-hmm. Because when we're talking about freedom overall, not only this in our local community, but look at what they're doing with the masking and everything else. Everything is a hit because everything affects your daily life and what you can do and what you can't do. You can't go escape out of your home to escape the stuff that's being laid down on those tracks. You can't for 5G. So we're just laying all this stuff ahead of us, mask wearing and everything else for what's coming next. And everybody just takes it in stride, each little step going, oh, it's just this. Oh, it's just that. Kate, we're just going 4G to 5G. Stop complaining. We're the internet industry and we don't like what you're saying, Kate. You know, I mean, that kind of stuff. I don't care if you don't like it. Go Google it. Do your own homework. Oh, it just makes me mad that they're not even concerned.
What if, you know, what if they decided to build a car that was one-third the weight of cars today, but you would automatically be killed in any accident?
Yeah.
Would you allow that? Because it's best for the ecosystem?
Right. It's so true. Yeah, you know, that governor that says, Governor Gruesom Newsom, saying that gas-powered vehicles and trucks will be banned out of the state of California in 14 years.
Except for government officials.
Yeah.
They'll be able to have gasoline-powered cars.
But then the reasoning behind that is a little crazy, and I'll get into that in the next segment. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Kind of just touching base, not a very specific point, but something to think about.
Uh-huh.
We're talking about the Internet of Things. I was in the industry where I ran a cell phone store for the last 8 years, so mm-hmm. we've had class and class on how that could be utilized on a personal level.
Sure.
Then I have a sibling. He does a firewall for a big state here in the United States, and he does that part. But before that, he was a contractor for defensive maneuvers, and one thing he worked on was they helped break up a Epstein-type ring for, you know, pornography and whatnot for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they found it where they literally tracked it down, and this is 6-7 years ago, so it's already out there. But just how things can be used, how it's connected, they would take a file and separate it into pieces on thermostats and new fridges. As crazy as that sounds, and they tracked
it
back. So if somebody wanted to buy one or send a file, it would put it out there and it pulled these microscopic files from these devices and put it together, and that's how they caught it.
Jeez.
Also, the Internet of Things is they helped track down a guy who one of the cases he personally worked on was in a vehicle where he was able to crash a person's vehicle.
Can you call back after the break? I'd love for you to finish that sentence. Call right back after the break. We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Fighting for the things you gave me, I want to share your love. Feeling like a wounded soldier, my strength is not enough. And I can't win this battle on my own. My sword has long been buried, piled on with dirt.
Hi, welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. Happy to have you. And, of course, we'll invite your calls in just a moment. Boy, feeling like that today. Can't win this battle on my own. I feel like that every day, actually. Welcome back to the show. Caller, I'll put you on hold for just a second. And, of course, get over to Tropical Pool and Spa. They really are that good, I'm telling you. I had some family over last night, and they were enjoying the hot tub. And let me just tell you, it's so fun. It's so nice to be outside, and no masks required. And, of course, it's such a refuge. Make sure you have a refuge. Get a hot tub. Get a swim spa. Have something in your home and in your backyard that provides a refuge for you. It's really important for that staycation of yours. I have a feeling there'll be a little more of that, and it's really hard to travel right now with all the restrictions going on. It just kind of deflates the whole traveling reason, right? And so, therefore, make sure you have your home right where it needs to be in recreation and fun and enjoyment. Make sure you go to Tropical because the Bullfrog is by far the best brand, and also their swim spas are amazing. Their pools are amazing. Invest in your home. Invest in those types of things and activities at your home, and give Tropical a call. Over 40 years experience. Pretty amazing. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was just calling back.
Thank you so much. So we'll back up just about a minute. So tell us, this is your brother, right?
Yeah. So in the industry he's in, without giving too much of his stuff,
sure.
He's contracted and he would do different things. They worked on everything from drones to other stuff. But one of they worked on, and this is 6 or 7 years ago, was the Internet of Things. Mm-hmm. And they were tracking down people. They would say, hey, this is what we have, and they would track it back down. He explained it like, you have a firewall that protects your internet, but none of them are impervious. And they find out how he made it through the wall, and they figure out how to track him back, whoever it is, and how to plug that hole, and then they find another one, like the little boy in the dike.
Wow.
Well, they tracked down part of it X amount of years ago was with child pornography, and they were hiding in thermostats and fridges. He said there was other devices, but let's say you broke a file up, they would break it up into massively small pieces, and if I wanted to send a file, I would send it out there, and it would pull these little parts from other places, so nobody actually had a full bad file, like an illegal file, until they found out what they were doing and busted them.
Oh,
other things that worked for the Internet of Things is they tracked a guy down who somehow was making brakes fail by overheating, kind of like the Iran thing, and that's how they sent a virus that messed up their centrifuges.
Right.
It was the same thing, and it would make these people's brakes overheat and fail, and some people were causing it. It was some guy that was doing this. So my point of calling you was not really a very specific thing, but to show you that the dangers are out there, that they say it's totally safe and totally this there, and it's all for our own good. Well, when I ran this cell phone store locally for the last 8 years, and I had a lot of training with installers of 5G, a lot of there.
Right.
And for me, because I went in depth with some of the trains they give, but there are definitely things that should make people think. The proximity, in light of the intensity of the frequency of people who are so close, if you're farther away, they say it's super safe. But if you're near the base of those towers, it's kind of concerning.
Yeah.
You go look at the plant matter around them. That's what these guys would bring up.
Mm-hmm.
So plants are being affected. I got on, literally, I was sitting out of school picking up my kid when you brought that up, so it kind of hits home. I didn't know they were putting up around schools.
Mm-hmm.
But if plant matter is being affected, what is it doing to the cells of our kids? That what you just said, I mean, that makes me think. I didn't even put it in perspective because it's usually far enough away from people. So that's really my two cents from this.
Thank you.
Subject.
I'm actually really glad you weighed in on it, because what's interesting about this is they sent this to the residents within 500 feet, but they didn't send a letter home with each kid. So the parents of the kids in these schools, Panorama, Pine View Middle, for instance, and there's other schools too, by the way, but they didn't send a letter home, so the parents didn't know. And so there's...
So that was locally.
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't heard about this.
And so then...
Right? New.
So the city says, what? We're not doing anything. We're just allowing the tower to go up. We don't know the technology. We're totally naive. Well, that's the only reason we have more towers coming in, is because they have to place them all over the place in order for 5G to work. Because small cell is about the radius that it goes, right? It's not exactly like a smaller tower. It's basically the radius in which it shoots out what it does, right? So,
and it's actually... Yeah. With 5G, it's a stronger signal, but stronger signals only work to a shorter amount. So in these classes that I took, they have to have more of them more often to handle that bandwidth. Like I've seen the map for downtown St. George, what they're putting in there.
Right.
And that's very dense.
Right. And people can go online. You can actually search for where the towers are, and they're putting this in under the whole... Our city isn't doing anything wrong because we're just doing the tower. Well, they also make money on leasing the towers on school property like that. So there's a reason they're doing it on school property.
Well, it's two things. It's like everybody else is doing it.
Right.
Everybody has kids. We've heard that.
Yep.
And two, throw out there, it's like, well, you got to pass the bill before you read it. Well, we want to know
exactly
what these towers are doing prior. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for taking my call.
I really appreciate that. Thanks for calling back.
You know, it's interesting. They sent letters to everyone who lives within 500 feet.
To warn them.
But there could possibly be not one child in that school that lives within 500 feet.
Yeah, you're right. And so when the guy took over flyers, he took them over to the school and the parents were like, what?
Yeah.
What's going on? I mean, it's pretty insane that we're not finding this out. And for the cities to come off with this whole naive, we don't know what's in it. Really? Come on, you guys. It's the only reason that they're putting the towers up. So, and a lot of them this year are going in. And so they can't just claim they don't know anymore. They better start doing some homework. This is just getting nauseating. And there's always that ignorance factor. So if you're putting yourself in a city position, then you better be doing homework 24/7 to understand why you're making the decisions you are then. You don't have any excuse not to do homework.
Right. But if they are safe, put one in the mayor's backyard. Let's see how that works.
Exactly. You guys test it out for us. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Go right ahead.
So I know a lot of our city council people listen, the mayor listen, county commissioners listen. We are watching you, and this is our kids' health. You already failed us on the map. Now you're failing us again. We will vote you out the next go-around.
Yep.
We are watching. We are engaged.
Yeah.
So if you want to keep your job, start doing your job.
I agree. I agree with you.
Get your head out your butt and let's get to it.
Thanks for the message. If you're going to march with Black Lives Matters and wear signs that say white silence equals black death.
Move to Chicago.
And if you want to go fund businesses to the tune of $500,000 of our tax money when you pick and choose them. If you want to put up affordable housing in every nook and cranny of a city. If you want to go do all of these things. If you want to go buy and purchase LGBT flags for the city and hope no one notices, if you want to do all this stuff, you're going to be voted out because we're not going to put up with it. And I can't imagine putting up with it anymore because there's so many things. It's endless. You want to put up towers and claim you don't know what's in them? You want to go and approve funding for 200,000 vaccines that the emergency services and police are going to hand out? I mean, give me a break. You're going to be voted out. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Amen to both of you on that one.
Yep.
Let's go back to the wonderful brilliance of California.
Oh, yes. In fact, I didn't actually say one of the reasons is because in the future, this is from Oracle. In the future, what they're looking at is this, and this is straight from Oracle. The connected car allows car manufacturers and dealers to turn the car ownership model on its head. Previously, manufacturers had to deal at arm's length because they dealt with the dealers, right? The dealers dealt with the people, okay? What this is going to do now is with connected cars, automobile and autonomous cars that drive themselves, automobile makers and dealers are going to have a continuous relationship with their customers. Instead of selling cars, they can charge drivers usage fees, offering a transportation as a service using autonomous cars and allowing the manufacturers to upgrade their cars continuously with new software. It's kind of like a sea change difference from the traditional model of car ownership to then in which vehicles immediately depreciate. This is what they're going to sell people on, so that you are basically renting always, leasing always. This model is more of their equality, kindness. Look, we're all sharing. Look, it's a car to be shared. You don't need to own anything, people. And then, of course, we have to look at property rights, too, and the property ownership, like Chris Ann says, more than essential. So we're looking at a lot of things that are coming, the slippery slope for 150 years that we've been on, that are coming that we don't even realize why he can stand up there and do an executive order and think he can get away with saying no gasoline cars after 2035. But go ahead, caller. I just wanted to mention that.
Oh, that's great information. It's farther than I thought.
But yeah, it's
first
crazy.
Off, this tells me that the guy is convinced, and, you know, everybody calling Trump Hitler right now, this guy's convinced he's still going to be in power in 14 years. Mm-hmm. That sounds a little more like Hitler.
Yeah, interesting, huh?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, because seriously, if you're pushing this and you're convinced it's all going to go through, you obviously think you're still going to be running the show.
Right.
And number two, and here's the real salient point. California, every time we turn around, is getting rid of more and more and more energy and going more and more green, right?
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Let's see. They have rolling brownouts now because they can't supply enough power to their customers because they've gone with wind and solar.
Right.
And now they're going to mandate that everybody charge their car with what?
Yeah. Electricity. Yep.
You know, you folks out there on the left that think you're so brilliant, I'm sorry, but you're idiots.
Yep. Yep. Thank you for that. Yep. Appreciate that. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Let me turn the radio down.
Thanks.
Hey, so just getting back to the cell phone towers. I think there was an act, it's called Communication Act back in 1996.
There's several.
Which virtually said that they can place any cell phone tower anywhere they want to, and nobody has any say.
The FCC re-upped that last year. But here's the deal, though. There are cities, though, that are passing ordinances before more towers come so that they have the option to say, oh, hey, because we can put a stay on this because of health reasons, just like they can lock a city down and say, oh, health reasons, same kind of thing. And so cities are actually passing ordinances. The ones that are smart enough to realize that they can actually fight the FCC when they tell you that they have to, that's not exactly true, because there are cities out in America that are fighting this.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Okay. I did not realize that.
All you have to do is a quick search and you'll find cities out there that are fighting this, and they're actually passing things that allow themselves to giving themselves the power to say no. To say we ask for certain things and we want certain things accomplished before the tower goes in. So there's that. But yeah.
Okay.
Crazy. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Anyway, there's things that they could do.
Yeah. The Telecommunications Act of 1996 was just the first time the internet was mentioned.
Yeah.
The previous act was 1934.
Yeah,
so it had been 60 years.
Yeah. Good point. I'm glad you brought that up, because it was last year when the FCC kind of re-upped and said, you know, hey, you're going to do this. Well, not necessarily. And because of health reasons, they can actually, that actually gives them some opportunity there to put a stay on it and say no. Until studies come back or whatever the case may be, because you're putting it on school property. I just hope the city wants that kind of liability, putting it on school property.
Because
where they put it on school property before, they've had issues. And this is what's giving the cities, the citizenship ammo to fight this, is say, kids got leukemia. Oh, hey, you cannot do this.
They'll just make a law that says you can't sue them. They have no liability.
Yeah, seems to be the thing these days. Yeah,
that's what they just did with vaccines.
Yeah, it's funny because this is probably the only thing I see a lot of leftists and people on the right going, now, wait a minute, we need to rethink this, because, you know, I find progressive leftism appalling. But on this, at least they're saying, at least, you know, hey, can we have some studies?
So
left and right is actually fighting this, not just one or the other. It's nice to see citizens just go, now, wait. A lot of this in an area where you're putting in multiple towers might not be good for us. Might have an effect on our health, which it very much would. I absolutely believe that after all the stuff I've looked at. FCC chairman came out and said the same thing. He said, do people realize the dangers that this is going to pose? Because it's the same kind of symptoms as COVID and the flu and everything else. Brain fog to all kinds of stuff, autoimmune, all kinds of stuff. So just letting you guys know, I mean, it's something to look into. Be right back with Chris Ann Hall. Don't go anywhere.